ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text 38. Chapter is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Paritu. Brahmanya Deva Purusha Puratano Nityam Aryacharana Vivandana अवापलक्ष्मीम् अनुपायिनीं यशो जगत्पवित्रं च महत्तमग्रणैः ब्रह्मण्यदेव पुरुषा पुरातनः नित्याङ्गर्यचरणाभिवन्दनः वापलक्ष्मीम् अनुपायिनीं यशो जगत्पवित्रं च महत्तमग्रणैः ब्रह्मण्यदेव पुरुषा पुरातनो नित्यं हर्याचरणाभिवन्दनाः अवापलक्ष्मीम् अनुपायिनीं यशो जगत्पवित्रं च महत्तमग्रणैः। Brahmanyadeva, the Lord of the Brahmanical culture. Purusha, the Supreme Personality. Puratana, the oldest. Nityam, eternal. Hari, the Personality of Godhead. Yad, whose. Charana,
Charana.
Lotus feet.
Feet.
Abhid Vandana,
by
means of worshipping.
Avapa,
Avapa.
Obtained.
Lakshmim,
Lakshmi.
Opulences.
Opulence.
Anapayinim,
perpetually.
Yashaha,
reputation.
Jagat,
universal.
Pavitram,
purified.
Cha,
also.
Mahat,
great.
Tama,
supreme.
Agranahi,
foremost.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient, eternal Godhead, who is foremost among all great personalities, obtained the opulence of His staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe, by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the ancient,
eternal Godhead, who is foremost
amongst
all great personalities, obtained the opulence of His staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe, by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Person is described herein as Brahmanya Deva. Brahmanya refers to the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, or the Brahmanical culture. And Deva means worshipable Lord. Therefore, unless one is on the transcendental platform of being a Vaishnav or on the highest platform of material goodness as a Brahman, he cannot appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the lower stages of ignorance and passion, it is difficult to appreciate or understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord is described herein as the worshipable deity for persons in Brahmanical and Vaishnava culture. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Jagat Dittaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Vishnu Purana 1965. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the prime protector of Brahmanical culture and the Kala. Without knowing and respecting these, one cannot realize the science of God. And without this knowledge, any welfare activities or humanitarian propaganda cannot be successful. The Lord is Purusha, or the Supreme Enjoyer. Not only is He the Enjoyer when He appears as a manifested incarnation, but He is the Enjoyer since time immemorial, from the very beginning, Puratana, and eternally, Nityam. Yat charana vivanan, nat charana vivandanat. Prithu Maharaj said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead attained this opulence of eternal fame simply by worshipping the lotus feet of the Brahmins. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the Lord does not need to work to achieve material gain, since He is perpetually, supremely perfect. He does not need to obtain anything. But still it is said that He obtained His opulences by worshipping the lotus feet of the Brahmins. These are His exemplary actions. When Lord Krishna was in Dwaraka, He offered His respects by bowing down at the lotus feet of Narada. When Sudam Vipraha came to His house, Lord Krishna personally washed His feet and gave Him a seat on His personal bed. Although He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna offers His respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira and Kunti. The Lord's exemplary behavior is to teach us. We should learn from His personal behavior how to give protection to the cow, how to cultivate Brahmanical qualities, and how to respect the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 21, Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eva tarojjana. If the leading personalities behave in a certain manner, others follow them automatically. Who can be more of a leading personality than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whose behavior could be more exemplary? It is not that he needed to do all these things to acquire material gain, but all these acts were performed just to teach us how to behave in this material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as Mahattama Agranihi. Within this material world, the Mahatmas, or great personalities, are Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, but he is above them all. Narayana Paro Vyaktat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in a transcendental position, above everything created within this material world. His opulence, his riches, his beauty, his wisdom, his knowledge, his renunciation, and his reputation are all Jagat Pavitram, universally purified. The more we discuss his opulences, the more the universe becomes purer and purer. In the material world, the opulences possessed by a material person are never fixed. Today one may be a very rich man, but tomorrow he may become poor. Today one is very famous, but tomorrow he may become infamous. Materially obtained opulences are never fixed, but all six opulences perpetually exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only in the spiritual world, but also in this material world. Lord Krishna's reputation is fixed, and his book of wisdom, Bhagavad Gita, is still honored. Everything pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally existing.
Brahmanyadeva purusha puratano nityang hariyacharana bivandana avapalakshmim manapayinim yasho jagat pavitrang cha mahattama granihi.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ancient eternal Godhead, who is foremost amongst all great personalities, obtained the opulence of his staunch reputation, which purifies the entire universe by worshipping the lotus feet of those Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Before I begin to speak anything on this Bhagavad Purana, I would humbly request all the assembled Vaishnavas to give me their permission and blessings to speak something. It is only by the grace and well wishes of the Vaishnavas that I may be accomplish anything of worth to inspire you in your Krishna consciousness.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chaitanya Swamini Tinamini Namami Bhakti Chaitanyam Prabhupadana Sevanam Sri Vajadhana Mahatmya Pradashikam Prapanavam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nidvishesha Shunyavadi Pasatadesha Tarini Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadha Mahiyam Tadati Swapadandita Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Vipassindu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vidhara Shivashadi Gaurava Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Only those situated in the mode of goodness and above can appreciate and worship the Lord. This is further explained in the first canto, chapter 2, text 19, where the process of Krishna consciousness gradually eliminates the lower modes of passion and ignorance. The subsidiary qualities or symptoms of somebody in the mode of passion and ignorance is unrelenting lust, desire and hankering, as explained in the purport of 1-19 by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say in that purport, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-19, that the devotee of the Lord is invested with all good qualities. Therefore, he is one with the Lord in quality. This oneness with the Lord needs to be more elaborated upon. It's not the oneness which is spoken about or aspired for by the Brahmavadis, but rather oneness of intent, of interest. This is explained further in the Sri Ishopanishad, Mantra 7, where mention is made of Ekatvam Anupasyataha, that the oneness is one of following the Lord and His interests. To clarify this, in the purport of the Ishopanishad Mantra 7, Srila Prabhupada gives two nice analogies. The first analogy is of a spark and fire. We know that whilst a fire is blazing, some sparks emit. All characteristics are there in the spark, is also present in fire. The spark may burn your cloth if it lands on your clothing, and it is bright, like this, the fire itself. Qualitatively, they are identical, but in quantity, they are not. Srila Prabhupada gives a second example of a small quantity, maybe a drop or a teaspoon of water from the ocean. All qualities of the ocean are contained in that teaspoon, but the quantity is different. The goal of life is to achieve this oneness of interest with Krishna. So long as one is not in this oneness of interest with Krishna, one is in a great suffering position, whether one realizes it or not. In this purport, the culture of taking care of cows, cow protection, and honoring brahmanas is explained. In the purport of chapter 14, text 16, Srila Prabhupada makes reference to this. Firstly, in terms of abusing this need to protect the cow. Srila Prabhupada says, chapter 14, text 16, a human being has no need to kill animals because God has supplied so many nice things. If one indulges in meat eating anyway, it is to be understood that he is acting in ignorance and is making his future very dark. Of all kinds of animal killing, the killing of cows is most vicious because the cow gives all kinds of pleasure by supplying milk. Cow slaughter is an act of the grossest type of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, in terms of a definition of Brahmana honoring and worshipping and cow protection, Brahmanas are the symbol of spiritual education and cows are the symbol of the most valuable food. These two living creatures, the Brahmanas and the cows, must be given all protection. That is the real advancement of civilization. Now, contradictory to that is somebody who encourages cow killing and disrespects the Brahmins. This is explained in a nice pastime when Krishna took his advent. Yogamaya declared to Kamsa that your cause of your death is already born somewhere else. So Kamsa felt great lamentation and decided to forgive Yasha, Devaki and Vasudev, released them from prison in this way. But then Kamsa's ministers started to give him some shiksha. Unfortunately, it's not the right type of shiksha. They said, we will personally take it upon ourselves to go out and kill all the cows and kill all the brahmanas, because the brahmanas are the supporters of Vedic culture. And Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness, Sanatana Dharma, is based on honoring the cows, using their products, that means ghee products, for performing yagyas, and the brahmanas themselves perform yagyas. So we will destroy these. Don't you worry, my dear friend. We will take care of this for you. So this is not good advice. Such friends may not be called friends in the strictest use of the word. Srila Prabhupada describes Krishna here as a supreme enjoyer from time immemorial. Every one of us here has a potential to enjoy, and a desire to enjoy also. But Krishna is the supreme enjoyer from time immemorial. We are all seeking some temporary happiness, comfort, enjoyment in this world, some or the other. We are pleasure-seeking by nature. Ananda Maya Bihasa. On the way back to Shimayapur, I flew from Johannesburg to Mumbai, and there was a couple, Indian couple, sitting in front of me. And the lady, for the entire 8+ hours of the trip, was trying to sleep. Emphasis on the word trying. So as you know, in economy class, we don't have a full stretchable seat that converts into a bed. Economy is economy. So this poor lady was trying to turn her head one way, then the other, then forward, then backward, but the seat would not oblige her. So eventually she tried to put a pillow in between the gap of the window of the aircraft and her armrest, and her headrest. Unfortunately, there was no armrest, so the pillow fell down. So her neck was left hanging like this. So after 1 or 2 minutes of attempted rest, she got up again and tried to adjust. So in so many ways, she was trying to adjust her position, but she could not ever get rest. And I was thinking, this is the condition of the material world, you know. Every attempt that we make to be completely comfortable and happy in this material world is destined for failure. Any material means. However, we take the spiritual recourse by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then all perfection will be there, no doubt. Krishna himself is worshipping the Brahmins, and Prabhupada says, yes, by the worship of the Brahmins, Krishna obtained his opulences. This is not making sense to most of us who are in Krishna consciousness for some time, because we know Krishna is full in all opulences. He is referred to as Bhagavan, which means one who has all these 6 opulences in full. And here Prabhupada says that his opulences, his riches, his beauty, his wisdom, his knowledge, his renunciation, and his reputation, all Jagat Pavitran. Simply by discussing these opulences of Krishna, the universe is purified. I don't think when anybody discusses our glorious qualities, the universe is purified. So the Lord and us are not equal. Krishna is Vibhu and we are Anu. But at the same time, we have all these 6 qualities, but in a limited quantity. Why does Krishna honor and worship the Brahmanas? If he is full in himself, self-satisfied Atmaram, where is the need for Krishna to worship anybody? The reason is, yadyad acharati shrestas tattat evaturo jana, to set an example for all of us. It is described that example speaks louder than precept. This is why when our Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he could have sent his books alone, and by themselves those books would have made unlimited numbers of devotees. But Prabhupada came himself to show that it's not philosophy Bhagavat that should only be our practice and goal and aspiration, but to become persons Bhagavat. Therefore, His Grace Hari Sauri Prabhu, once he came to South Africa, he did a course called The Living Bhagavata. Srila Prabhupada, the living Bhagavata. And by his personal behavior, Srila Prabhupada trained all of us to gradually come out of the animalistic platform of gross sense gratification to satisfying the senses of Rishikesh. This is the definition of bhakti. Rishikena Rishikesha Bhakti Uchati. We have to serve the senses of the owner and possessor of the senses. Those opulences that I mentioned earlier, Prabhupada talks about, are eternally existing. Prabhupada gives example here of dualities. Sometimes some person is wealthy, the next day is poor. Sometimes a person is honored, and then another day, the next moment, is dishonored. The point to remember here is that wealth, poverty, honor and dishonor all relate to the material body and this present birth. His Holiness Radhanath Swami says something very beautiful in this regard. Maharaj says, facility and position will come and go. The real wealth is devotional service. In another lecture by Radhanath Swami, he says, devotional service is not a troublesome burden. It is the moment-to-moment gift of God. So my question is, why is devotional service a gift of God? Devotional service is a gift of God is because it is placing us in our swarup. Swarup means you can be nothing else but that. Jivera swarupa hoy, Krishnere nitya das. Krishnere nitya das. That's our eternal position. We may try to adjust that in certain ways by trying to enjoy in this way or that, but all of these attempts simply end in more suffering. Devotional service is not cheap. We have to beg for the privilege. We should never ever take things for granted. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj says we should have an attitude of gratitude. If we are grateful for the great wealth of devotional service that is available to us, but the request must be there, then we will gratefully accept that offering of devotional service and serve in the proper mood. It is stated that more than our service is the devotional attitude in which we do the service. We may recall on the way to Vidura's home, Krishna was invited to a huge banquet, a feast fit for a king. Unfortunately, it was offered by Duryodhan, who was thinking, Krishna, you've got to come and eat at my place. Look at the spread I made for you. Cooked with lust and commotion. Unfortunately, there was another feast waiting in the home of Vidura, consisting of very beautiful, sweet and delectable banana skins, which Krishna decided to take instead because it was offered with love and devotion. Krishna consciousness is love, masquerading as philosophy. If you get too caught up with the tattva, we miss the rasa. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj says that we should always pray. Why? Prayer suggests that we don't have anything. We are not Atmaram. So we pray to Atmaram to become Atmaram. That is the reason we pray. If we are self-satisfied, we are the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, we are Parameshwara, why pray? So long as one is caught up in that mood of being the supreme enjoyer, trying to exploit, trying to enjoy, trying to gratify one's senses, separate of Krishna, there is no need to pray. And such a person will not pray. Prayer is an external symptom of surrender. Therefore, when we put our hand into this bead bank, it is a sign, Krishna, let me be with you. And simply by the chanting of the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in a mood of attentiveness, absorption and love, we will attract the attention of Krishna, we will get the much sought after gift of devotional service, and we'll perfect our lives. But if I teach my pet parrot to chant, he can also chant. The difference is, we have to chant with such intensity that we have to convince ourselves by the intensity of chanting and Krishna by the intensity of our chanting that yes, please engage me in your devotional service. O energy of the Lord, O attractive Lord, O supreme enjoyer, please engage me in your devotional service. I aspire for nothing more than this. Indeed, I may aspire for many, many other things, but my aspiration is to make that my main aspiration. Please help me. This is prayer. So we should chant in a prayerful mood. Prabhupada used an analogy like a genuine call of a child for its mother. Those of you that are mothers here, you know what is the difference between a genuine call and the other call. Ma means, I mean, bring me another chapati. Ma means come right now. And mother will drop everything including the chapati and run to the child. Yes. So we should chant with a genuine call like a child for its mother. And Krishna is the holy name. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna, we are with Krishna, so there's no doubt of that. I like to speak about Mother Yashoda. A devotee friend of mine said something very interesting. It must have been a Kartik or two ago. He said that he's so happy with Damodar month. It's his favorite month. Then I thought, what? Lambs, you can do so many vratas, there's lots of feasts. What was his reason? He said, no, this is the only month we get to honor and respect and worship Yashoda. If you think about it, it's the only month. And what a great devotee. It's described that Mother Yashoda is outside of conjugal love, that means the other rasas, dasya, sakya, vatsalya. Of all those three categories of rasas, of all the devotees who are in those three rasas, Mother Yashoda is the topmost. And we are so privileged to have the opportunity to worship and honor her in this month. So there's one nice pastime which my Gurudev says. Would you like to hear? So Guru Maharaj relates the pastime of once when our Kanaya was going out on his very beginning of his cow herding, actually at that time calf herding pastimes, which is coming up in a few days, Gopastami. So on the way, Mother Yashoda is still seeing to Krishna, and then friends are waiting and they're knocking, hey, Krishna, come on, let's go, come on, you know, time is flying, you know. So they practically yank him out of the house and pull him. But Mother Yashoda says, no, wait, Krishna, just wait a second. It's this little dhoti here, attack it, okay, right. Then Krishna walks for another 5 steps. Then Mother, Krishna, wait! Just this little turban here, just a peacock feather. Okay, now you go. After 5 steps more, Krishna, wait! This garland, this earring, and meantime, all the cowherd boys are looking at Krishna. What a mommy's boy! And Krishna, in his mind, is thinking, Mata, please, you're embarrassing me. So eventually, Yashoda relents and lets him go. After 5 steps, she stops him again. Krishna, wait. Then Balaram steps forward. Maya, you don't have to worry about Krishna and us getting tired or running out of energy from not enough prasadam. All we do the whole day is play. And she's startled. What do you mean you play the whole day? I thought you were going to herd cows and calves. No, you don't understand, Maya. That when we go out to herd the cows, we do nothing. Krishna walks this way, the cows follow him. Krishna walks that way, the cows follow. So we do nothing the whole day but play. And Mother Yashoda, with that advice by Baladev, eventually relented and let Krishna go. But after 5 steps, she told one servant, this is how they do it. Come here. I want you to accompany Krishna. And after 5 steps, you come back and report to me. Then I will send another servant. And he will walk for 5 steps this way. Then eventually she settled for sending some shoes and umbrella for Krishna. But Krishna says, no, I cannot take this. Why? It is so hot, the scorching sun in Braj will scorch your brain. You have to take this umbrella and one servant to hold it. Kanhaiya said, no. What about some shoes for your feet? There's so many thorns in Braj, they'll poke your soft lotus feet. Krishna says, no. If you give me an umbrella and a servant to carry that umbrella and shoes to protect my feet, you should make 4 shoes for each of my cows and an umbrella and a servant for each and every one of my cows. And with that, Mother Yashoda relented. Eventually. So very glorious devotee, and we should take advantage to honor and worship her in this month. Thank you very much. Yashoda Mai Ki Shri Damodar Lila Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki. Are there any questions or comments? Mataji, on your
Hare Krishna. As you mentioned that meditating is, takes one in a mode of ignorance, and yet we see this mode of ignorance in the Holy Dham. Why is that?
There is no ignorance in the Holy Dham. Okay. Our covered vision makes us think there is ignorance in the Holy Dham.
But one, when we see meditating happening in the Holy Dham,
I think this question was answered by His Grace Janani Vasprabhu about 3 or 4 days, so
yeah.
I dare not make a comment over his.
Okay.
But whoever is willing to make some comment, I think Janmashtami Prabhu wants to say something.
This meat eating in the Dham is just the Maya covering. It's not really the Dham. So there's a Maya covering that prevents those that aren't sincere from entering the Dham and experiencing the benefits of the Dham. So they stay on the external platform, you know, the meat eaters. But on the other hand, you know, devotees, there was a period in ISKCON Mayapur history where there were busloads coming from Calcutta every weekend, and they would have barbecues on the banks of the Ganga. You know, they would cook meat. And it was a highly organized thing. And then the devotees, they joined ranks with the Gaudiya Math and put pressure on the police and stopped that. So, you know, it's actually the responsibility of devotees to try and, you know, reduce the sinful activity in the Dham. But from a philosophical standpoint, we can just see it as part of the Maya covering of the Dham. Here's another example of many of the Goswami families. I'm speaking this is because it was told to me by a responsible ISKCON leader in Braj. Many of the Goswami families are the leading gundas in Vrindavan. They engage in all kinds of nonsense activities, and in the same token, they run temples. So, what we have to aspire for is the level of sincerity to actually enter the Dham. You know, have strong sadhana practices, not focus on the Maya covering, but focus on the genuine Dham, you know, which is available for those who are sincere. There's a saying that you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Right? So, I mean, you can buy a ticket, but you can't really go there unless you take the process seriously of bhakti yoga. Oh, of course. You know, any devotee that sees this nonsense going on, and fish eating is very widespread. I'm not sure about cow killing, but in Mathura, one of the largest slaughterhouses in UP exists. So, you know, as the golden age of Krishna consciousness progresses, you know, Vaishnavas have to take action against these nonsense activities, you know, and eventually this will take place. We can see the level of recruitment that goes on in India, where very, very highly placed persons become sold out ISKCON devotees, and they have a great deal of influence. I just you look at the university recruiting that's going on now in India, you know, where the cream of the Indian youth are becoming devotees. And these are the people that the IIT graduates that would go to America and, you know, have starting salaries of $250,000, you know, and they're becoming brahmacharis. And so there's more and more strength, you know, and some very, very, very highly placed government officials and businessmen, you know, are staunch ISKCON devotees. So it's just a question of time. Hare Krishna.
Before you ask a question, I'd like to add something.
I'm going to respond to her, what she said. Just like Krishna is all-pervasive in this material world, when we're in the Dham, if we fall in Maya, Maya is there immediately for us. So she is also all-pervasive. She is waiting. In Caracas, Venezuela, one woman got up and she, Prabhupada asked her some questions. She said, I think in this temple there is a lot of Maya, she said. She made that comment, you know. So Prabhupada answered, he said to her, if you know a place in this material world where Maya is not, let us all go there immediately, he said. So even in Prabhupada's time, this killing of the cows was there. Prabhupada commented about it. He noticed it, you know. It's not that it didn't exist. You know? If you find some paradise, spiritual paradise here, completely, let us go there immediately. This is the material world. What you can do, you know. We try to make some arrangement, but you know, a complete arrangement we cannot make.
That's my
comment.
Thank you so much. I'd just like to just make one more statement towards you, Mataji, is that first of all, you're making this statement because of your softness of your heart. That's why you're repeating the question which you asked to Janani Vaspapa, and I appreciate that. But in terms of making a change, I think the best way to do that is by our own example, and Krishna himself advises us in chapter 3, text 26, that rather than disturb those persons who are engaged in activities other than pure devotional service, we should behave in such a way to inspire them. That's the whole point of this purport. Krishna acting and following a certain principle and process just to set an example. And if there's enough of us through our sincere preaching efforts, then the world will sit up and take notice. It's just a question of time that separates that from happening. Like Prabhupada sat in the park and one man asked him, and Prabhupada was saying, I have thousands of devotees and hundreds of temples, and the person was saying, you just said you arrived a few days ago. Couldn't do the math. But then Prabhupada says, yes, time is separating me from you. So the glorious place When no Maya exists, time separates us from that place. And the cultivation of proper Krishna consciousness within ourselves first, charity begins at home, and then by that example, inspiring others to be Krishna conscious. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki.